Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Adjacent. You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Good song. The rare rap win for the Whites.
I'm not familiar with the song you're discussing. Tell me the lyrics again. I don't know if I heard it quite right.
It is Jack Harlow.
Oh, come on.
What? What do you mean, oh, come on? How you going to say you don't know and then talk about, oh, come on, like you know?
I know I don't like him.
Why?
Why not?
He can rap. What are you talking about?
I just don't.
You are such a hater. That's some hating ass shit, man.
Former athlete.
My man asked for the lyric. I said, yeah, it's a Jack Harlow song. Ugh. What are we doing?
I hate his commercials with Kawhi Leonard where they're playing one-on-one and, you know, he does okay against Kawhi Leonard.
He's
okay,
like 6'7".
But he's not even getting a shot to the rim against Kawhi Leonard.
It's a commercial. Like you.
I know.
You're doing the
but
thing.
It upsets me. Go ahead. Tell me what you guys like so much about Jack Harlow.
Well,
from the mean streets of Connecticut or whatever.
Kentucky.
He's from Kentucky, dog.
Okay.
Jason, shut up. The start of the song goes, what's popping? Brand new hit just hopped in, is the first two bars, and then I forget the rest, but it's cold and it's catchy.
I like Jack Harlow.
Jack Harlow can rap, and like last album he put out was really good. And I know people like don't like when the Whites rap, like, there's just a hate there that. It's kind of unfair, but if you can rap, you can rap. And my mans can rap. So, like, it's not like Logic,
who's half black.
Logic is like half black, and I don't like his raps all the time. And then he also, like, uses the, ooh, I'm white.
What percentage of them do you like, Russ? About half?
Of the Whites that rap?
No, Logic.
I don't know, man. Because he don't even.
Roughly 50%?
Don't get me started with Logic, dog.
He has one of my favorite.
Tony, stop it.
Five Tony. Favorite albums of all time Tony, on my personal list.
The stop Incredible acting like Truth. He don't have the antics.
I mean, he does. But if we just.
Oh, yeah. My mom used to call me and my sister the N-word.
Hey, that's a traumatic thing for him.
Nah, but stop talking about it. It's almost like he's proud of it.
I mean, it's his trauma. It's his life. You know, pretty sure it was weird, but yeah, The Incredible True Story is one of my top five favorite albums of all time.
What are the what's the rest of the top five?
To Pimp a Butterfly is number one. I don't care what J. Cole said.
Yes.
Cole didn't mean that, by the way.
Yeah, I know he didn't. That's why he had to apologize.
You're talking about I saw this recently. I didn't see what was said, but I saw the headlines of J. Cole like immediately retracts and apologizes for a diss track on Kendrick Lamar.
Welcome to the 21st century, Jason.
Let's go.
You're up on the rap beat.
Well, it was
4 weeks later.
Yeah, it wasn't 4 weeks ago. It might have been 4 weeks.
A lot has just transpired.
The first track, the diss track Kendrick put out came out almost a month ago. And then Cole took like 10 days and he responded, and then 2 days later was just like, "I didn't mean it. That's my friend." That's like if you and me put out a song where
Why did
we
he do it.
Listen, if you and me put out a song where we kind of diss Tony, and then Tony comes back and shoots at us and says, y'all think y'all cold? Well, you're not. It's about me. And then I put out a diss track where I'm like, F Tone, he can't even rap like that. And then 2 days later, I'm like, Tone's my man. I would never talk about him. I'm sorry. It doesn't hurt. It hurts my heart that I did that. And I'm a better man than that. And that's my friend. Like, that's basically what happened.
Okay, but that would all be true. So why would you and I do that? And also in that scenario, I want to be Eminem, not Jack Harlow. But why? But can I? Let me ask you a serious question.
Okay. Because
I actually have wondered this when I've seen this. Are diss tracks real or are they marketing stunts? Because that sounds to me like it wasn't actually real.
So in hip hop, historically, when you talked about rap beef, it was like these dudes, like if I saw you in the street, I'm going to shoot your face off.
Yes.
Like that's how diss track started. Whereas it's like, yo, if I come up to the radio station and you're there, it's on and popping. Now, like, because back in the day, if I was dissing Tone, there was no other form to diss him outside of the music. Now dudes be on their IG story talking about he's whack and I have a bigger house than you and I had sex with your girl and I have more number ones. And it's really just like, all right, but who can rap? And so I think Cole thought it was just friendly sparring amongst his peers that he thinks is of his ilk. And I think what happened was he shot at Kendrick. Kendrick called him and said, yo, I hate this dude. You better move out of the way. And he's like, ah, my bad. I'm out. Like, he just thought it was friendly sparring. And Kendrick was like, no, I've hated him for 10 years. You better move out the way because I'm trying to end him. And so that's why I really think Cole got out of the way, because he's like, oh, like, this is like, y'all hate each other like in life. I thought we were just rapping. And so Cole's like, I'm out.
And now looking at it.
But I think you have heard some of the whispers that it has been manufactured. And if that is true, I'm significantly bothered by that. Like, well, that's so whack.
I will upfront, my knowledge is a little bit limited, but I did read. Have you read the Jay-Z book by Michael Eric Dyson?
I have not.
It's very interesting, actually, about Jay-Z's music career and like looking at him a lot of times through the lens of poetry, which I don't think he gets the respect for what a good writer he is sometimes, like on a big picture scale as like one of the preeminent poets, if you want to call him that, in the United States of his era. And that book kind of made it sound like these feuds, these diss tracks, these beefs, whatever you want to call them, back in the day were really serious, like you're saying. But then there was a point maybe in the 90s where they became more playful. Like more just kind of like, you know, I would make a diss track about you, Russ, and then you'd make one back at me. And that's kind of how we would like joke around with each other. That's kind of what I took away from that.
I just know that Kendrick and Drake, there is like real beef there. I think Cole likes everybody. And I don't think Cole is like I'm not going to diss you if you're my friend. And he really just, like, he's doing what you thought. It was like, yo, this is the competitiveness of rap. I'm just going to go back and forth and we're going to see who raps better. And these dudes are like, because I do think Kendrick has a respect for Cole. I do think there was a communication after Cole's track. It was like, bro, I know what you're trying to do. This ain't that. I'm trying to end this dude. And because you're my man, I'm making this call out of respect. You better get out of the way. Do you agree, Cole?
I thought that was that with J. Cole until he went on Kevin Durant's podcast, which in and of itself is very interesting. He went into that safe space of Kevin Durant, who has often insinuated too that he wants to strip away the competitiveness of everything and just, I just want to hoop. And J. Cole's like, I just want to rap, which is why in a lot of people's minds, Kevin Durant has like, you know, gone down on their greatness ladder because of that attitude. And J. Cole recently has gone down in a lot of people's minds in terms of greatness because of his attitude towards competition. So with the control verse, Kendrick made a statement that, hey, going forward after this verse, it's all competition from here. We're all on equal famous platforms. Now I want to be the best out of all you guys. And then I don't think J. Cole wants to be a part of that, but I think it has elevated between Kendrick and Drake on a personal level. And I think it's still who is fighting to be the best. And we haven't had this in a while, like in, you know, maybe a decade or so of, okay, who really wants to claim the title as best rapper. I think Kendrick really, really wants that. And Drake really, really wants that. So when you have two top tier artists that wants that title of best rapper of this era, you're gonna have a beef. And it finally came to a head where, you know, it's not a big three. It's just me. And I like that. I like the competition. I like the guys fighting to be the best at what they do. I don't think it's a problem with it. I mean, there's going to be personal shots as long as it stays rap, which this isn't the 90s. You know, nobody's going to get shot. You know, anything like that. But
I think
it is interesting to see how this unfolds.
One of the other reasons I think that this is that call between Cole and Kendrick was had is just like, I think Kendrick is ready to take this to a place where it's like, I don't want you around this, and I don't think you want to be around this when I really start talking about your mans, because I think I think people know that Drake is like the super mega number one star in the world in hip hop and pop and all that stuff. But there's a lot of things surrounding Drake where like Ja Morant caught some smoke on the last diss track, because when you got the same girl in common with 100 different dudes, and let's keep it a buck, women is often the beef between dudes. And that's where a lot of the competitive part of it comes into, not just rap. And you start talking about people's wives and baby moms and all that. Like you're asking for this is when it becomes beyond music. Like you talk about my girl, I'm gonna smack the shit out of you, both on the track and in real life.
That's fair.
So yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Does that clear some stuff up for you, Jason?
Yes. Yeah, it did. It did. There's a line where it, you know, you cross that line and then it becomes real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now we're not just, you know,
this is not
funning around with each other
competitively anymore. No. Yeah.
Tony, it's interesting though to hear you as a connoisseur of basketball or an aficionado of basketball and rap, hip hop, that you seem like you are happy, you are pleased with the way things have kind of cooled down in rap as far as competition, but you sound very old school and upset. You sound like, you know, Patrick Ewing or Charles Barkley complaining about how soft the modern day NBA is and that they're all friends because it just sounded like that was the tone you were using when you were talking about Kevin Durant. You were saying some people discredit him for this, which I kind of felt like sounded like you discredit him for this.
I mean, has my thoughts about Kevin Durant. Like, he's a fantastic basketball player. We can have that conversation. Like, I can have that conversation with Kevin Durant about his greatness and his individual prowess. We can have that conversation. But there's also another conversation above that that places you in the Kobe's, the LeBron's, the Jordan conversation that only they're allowed to be in because of how they attack the game. And same thing with music. Jay-Z, Nas, right? Like, the whole foundation of that genre was built on battle rapping and who is the best MC. So when a person wants to take that away, a foundational pillar of the genre wants to strip away competition, it's like I know like real true like hip hop rap fans that enjoy J. Cole and now have kind of lost some respect for that aspect. So when Kevin Durant, you know, is brought up, and I've kind of shifted my thoughts. Like when he went to Golden State, I was like, we're about to see a brand of basketball that we have never seen before at an elite level from elite players. And it was fun. It was fun. But there's this undertone though of and something to be applauded. And it's coming back slowly with like the Anthony Edwards, you know, of the world of I want to rip people's heads off. And it's something to when you're watching people perform at the highest level, it's a fun way to view things. On an entertainment level where
it adds a lot of drama.
It does. You see the boost in women's college basketball and women's basketball in general, because that is being inputted into the game that's been missing from the NBA. Like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are going to get to do this again at the pro level because they're in the same conference now. In the East, Chicago and Indiana. Like we love that drama. We love the buildup. That's a part of all of this. And when you strip that away from basketball, from sports, from hip hop, right? It takes away a key factor of what makes this entertaining. And I think having that back into music and into the sport of basketball on the women's side, I think we're in for a great new era of music and sports.
I don't think it's back in the NBA, and I don't think it's coming back in the NBA. Because I think LeBron, I think, set the tone a lot in that way of we are all co-workers just in different cities and on different teams. Like the end of that era of what you're talking – like the last I remember of that is probably Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett. Mm-hmm. The only guys that are like that now are like Pat Bev and – who's your guy that you hate, that you love slash hate all? Dylan Brooks. Like it's really just like those guys that are kind of, they're almost kind of the weirdos now because that's not the culture of the NBA.
I agree. And I think that's why.
Grayson Allen, is he in that group of kind of like dirty, nasty, like.
Yeah, I guess, but he's also not good enough to be in that conversation. That's why I got hope for Anthony Edwards. That hopefully he doesn't get, you know, jaded by, right, he's going to be on Team USA, right? Like, they have to be teammates at this point. But he's got to know, like, when they get back home, I'm trying to kill all of you. And I hope he stays that way because that's what's going to bring up women's basketball, honestly. Like, that's the key component. If they really want to grow the game, continue to grow the game, it's been exploding so far, they need to keep that aspect of rivalry and fierce competitiveness because that's missing now on the men's side.
Let's start the show and then I want to hear the rest of your top five albums. So I'll give you a minute to get that sorted out, Tone. You have two spots filled here. We want to hear the other three.
Logic and To Pimp a Butterfly being in the same category pisses me off, but whatever. It's Tone.
You'll that's you've made that clear. Okay.
Nah, I don't even care, Tone.
Fuck. We're about Logic to have our own beef right here.
Oh no, there's beef now.
Yeah. Russ is gonna write a diss track about this.
Yeah, Tone. You're alone even in your own home.
Okay, pretty good for having only about 5 seconds to think about it. Keep working, workshopping that.
Okay. We write a Tone diss track.
Right.
I can sidetrack Tone on some, you know, like kind of inane basketball debate, like the best sixth man ever kind of debate, and that'll buy you some time to kind
of. Your name Tony, but you're more like a phony.
Look at this. Look how good he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. He loves it. Tone loves it. Tone wants you to keep doing this. It tickles.
A little 16 for Tone.
Yeah. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. We're all hating each other and writing diss tracks against each other. That's kind of what we're doing today in the office. I'm Jason Leisure, your host, my co-host, Russ Dorsey over there. Russ, you know, forgive Russ if he's kind of, you know, in and out of the conversation today because he's also, you know, half his brain is working on Tony related diss tracks, which I feel like the advantage you have in this, while it is hard for you to come up, hard for anyone to come up with this on the fly on a moment's notice, is as I've heard many artists talk about their first album, they spend their entire life writing it. And yeah. I feel like in subconscious way, you've been writing a Tony diss album for the last 3 years. You might not have realized it, but I have a feeling you'll access that material very easily, Russ.
Your name Gil, but it should be Meal. I eat these bars for breakfast. Chef Kiss.
Yes.
Now I'm going to kill you on this track. You're going to get smacked. That's all I had.
Tone would eat those bars for breakfast during the show on the microphone.
1,000%.
That's the problem. Yes. And we got the littest producer in the game, Tony Gil, back with us today. Tony, with his now sporadic appearances, but we're always happy to have you back, Tony.
Ah, love being here, guys. Thanks for having me. I thought I was going to get sent the link, but I just slotted right back to, you know, my position by shooting you guys the link.
To join the chat today?
Yeah, I was getting prepared. I was like, okay, waiting for the link. Mm-hmm. And there was
Thought I'm too good for this now. I've been promoted up to some level where I don't have to send the StreamYard link anymore.
Well, the last time I joined, Russ sent me the link. So I was like, okay, I get used to this. But that did not happen.
Don't set that precedent, Russ, okay?
Well, it was just me and Tone. So he was technically the guest.
Tony Gill and his sporadic appearances on here are brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. You can go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA. That's the link for our listeners. And they're doing their Earth Month sale in April. And this is such a good time to get Sheets and Giggles because we're hitting summer in most of the country. In fact, I declared at the start of summer here in Chicago on Saturday because I think it was 75 and sunny.
Yeah, I got a story about that day, by the way.
I'm jumping in. That's it. Summer. Summer has started now. I don't care what the calendar says. I don't care that it's going to be 37 this weekend. Summer is, that's just unseasonably cold for summer. Oh, well. You know, sometimes that happens. It's summertime. Let's go. I think the low here might be 37 after we had 81 the other day. That's what this time of year is like. It's crazy. My first spring back here, Russ, and everyone in Chicago knows this, but, you know, if you don't live here, I imagine this is true for the, you know, greater Midwest as well. But if you don't live in the Midwest, if you live in Florida where the weather's pretty consistent, or you live in the South where it's generally going to be a little bit warmer, summer here is the best season anywhere in the country. You cannot beat, I will come to the table with summer in Chicago, and you cannot beat that hand. Spring in Chicago is the wildest season anywhere in the country. And I think back to my first spring in Chicago is so wild that you can't trust the weather app. You got to call somebody. You got to ask someone who's been outside if you haven't and be like, how is it today? What's going on out there? Like, that's the only way to know what's up in Chicago in the spring. And I remember my first spring back here, moving back here from Miami a few years ago, Russ.
Yeah.
I went with my family to the White Sox home opener. So that's about this time of year. That's like late March, early April. It was 40 and raining. The following week, the Cubs had their home opener and it was 73 and sunny. And it's like that for like 2 or 3 months, where one day to the next, one week to the next, it could either feel like summer or it could feel like we're back in winter. We could still get snow May 1st, which I have seen just in the last 5 years. So it's kind of a crazy time of year. But eventually, in Chicago and everywhere else, it's going to be hot in the summertime. And when it is, you're going to be really glad you have the sheet set. The sheet set is so comfortable. It's 100% eucalyptus, silky smooth. And the best part is it doesn't get too hot. And I hate being hot. I will wake up if I'm too hot when I'm sleeping. Same. With those cotton sheets or those cheap poly blend sheets, whatever. Like, the eucalyptus sheets are the best sheets I've ever had, especially for the summertime. They're perfect for the summertime. So you can go hit their Earth Month sale at Sheets and Giggles. And if you get there using our link, sheetsgiggles.com/SA, or you just throw in our promo code sports, that will get you an extra savings on top of what they're already offering the rest of the public. So go hit up Sheets and Giggles at sheetsgiggles.com/SA. Proud sponsors of Tony Gill whenever he happens to stumble in here. Sports Adjacent is also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app and use our promo code Adjacent1000 to get this offer. Your first bet with them gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500 if you don't win. So you either win great or you lose, and they'll give you free future betting credits in the amount of whatever you bet to try again. Just use our promo code Adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. So Tone, we've got Incredible True Story by Logic, and we've got Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar, and we've got three. And they don't have to be in order. You can put them in order, even better. Mm-hmm. But what I don't want is to ask for your top five and you give me eight.
Okay.
Because that's soft. You gotta be decisive here. Can you fill out the rest of your top five
Yes.
albums of all time?
the Versace tape by Boldy James.
Okay. This is even more.
Russ, you will get your chance. This is just like what I have to do with my kids. Like, you get to talk, and then you'll get your turn. Okay? We're going to have an orderly proceeding. Go ahead, Tone.
Pray for Paris by West Side Gun. Okay. And then Care for Me by Saba. I think that rounds out my top five.
Okay. And is there an order? Do you have an order, or do you just want to leave it as top five?
I'll leave it as.
Yeah. Okay.
But I would say I have a number one.
Well, hold on.
Is my number one.
Okay, that's your clear number one of all time.
Yes.
Okay. Russ, the floor is yours. We yield to the senator from Illinois.
This is what pisses me off with Tom. The four that he gave outside of Your Man's are fantastic albums. He picked one of the best rappers of all time in Kendrick. Two of the hardest rappers out of Griselda in West Side Gun and Boldy James. And then one of the best rappers to come out of Chicago in the last decade in Saba. And then he threw Logic's ass in that mix.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
It's my personal favorite.
You think a Logic would be allowed in the group chat with Saba, Boldy James, West Side Gun, and Kendrick?
Probably.
Hey
not.
Guys, y'all mixed?
Is that a conversation starter?
I'm biracial. It's a conversation starter for Logic. That's what, Jason, you're laughing, but that's how that tone. Tell that man that's don't lie. That's how that dude talks.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah. He's from like, you know, Connecticut or something like that. Jersey.
I looked him up because I'll just be frank with you. I'm not familiar with Logic or his work. He is from Gaithersburg, Maryland. On Wikipedia, it says his actual name is Sir Robert Bryson Hall II.
Mm-hmm.
How did he get Sir? Because he's American.
I don't know Logic like that. So
I don't believe he's been knighted.
The one good thing I'll say about Logic is I saw him do the Five Fingers of Death on Sway in the Morning, and it was cold. But like, I'm cool.
I mean,
it's the antics.
The reason why I like that album, and I have different reasons for the reason why I like all these albums, but specifically to that one, since that's the most controversial one. It came about a time where I was like in my creative bag, and it really was a creative piece where he used the voice of my childhood, the voice of Toonami, the voice of anime in the 90s and in the 2000s. I forgot his name, but you recognize his voice, and he's the story through the entire album where he's traveling through space like he did in the Toonami cutscenes that all young cartoon fans know and understand. And his voice was lent throughout the entire album. It was definitely well placed, the tracks of you going through space and time. And I thought that was extremely creative. And then at the very end of the album, the title album track, The Incredible True Story, where there's the end section where this is like this interesting motivational speak behind like this beat where it again, I was like, before I had a job in this, I was still kind of, you know, grinding out. It was like, is your goal is just to attain money, or do you actually want to do something that you want to do? Like, if your goal is to get money, then you're going to be working forever because money is infinite. The numbers are infinite. So what do you really want to do? And that was very, very motivational to me at the end of that album. So that's why it's one of my favorites.
Russ, are you giving him, are you drawing any distinction between greatest albums and favorite albums?
No, I understand.
Because that's kind of the same conversation for him.
No, I understand completely what Tone's like. It's his personal favorite, so you can't knock somebody's personal favorite. I'm just don't like that dude being in the group with the hardest rappers in the world.
There lies,
but it's his personal list. But it's his personal list.
Mine is the same as Tone's, except instead of Logic, I have a Macklemore album.
Sorry.
So, Jason, you mentioned that we had amazing weather this past weekend. It was indeed 75 degrees and sunny. And you know what I like to do on those days. I'm going to go for a run. So I just got back in town after being in New York. And I said, all right, let me go get a run in. Didn't feel like working out that day like that. So I'm like, I'll get some air, get some sunlight, all good. So I'm on my run on the lakefront. Obviously, a Saturday when it's beautiful, the nicest day of the year we had so far. A little crowded, but on the lakefront, there's the path, and people are pretty respectful of runners. Sometimes you'll have to, you know, run around some people, but it's not crazy. Then I get to my last mile of my 4 mile run. And usually what happens is I make a, like you go, there's a curve on the lakefront when you get to the river and you go down the Riverwalk. Now, I am aware that on a day like this, the Riverwalk is pretty crowded. And so you're having to run through and around groups of people. It's very narrow. But I'm like, yeah, I'm at the end of my run. Like, it'll be fine. I made it to like 3.8 miles. And I get to the narrow part of the river. When you get down by Michigan Avenue, the bend and the curve by Trump Tower, all that stuff. And there are a lot of people. So you're weaving in and out, weaving in and out. You're trying to find that lane to go through. And finally, I did that, found a lane. And all of a sudden, a kid darts out.
Oh, no.
Kid darts out, not paying attention at all. Split second decision. I have a couple options. Do I stop on a dime? Do I hurdle the kid? Do I truck the kid? Or do I go around the kid?
I like option two.
Hurdle the kid? So
yeah, like, I like that idea. I think that'd be fun to see in real life.
Before I tell you guys what I did, Tone, what of those selections, which one do you think I did?
You suffered a knee injury, so going to a sudden stop.
I suffered a knee injury.
Yeah, didn't you bust up your knee in college?
No. Achilles, Tone.
Oh, his Achilles. Oh. You're talking about his Achilles.
Well, you had a leg injury, so coming to a quick and
fast stop. No. He's using good logic here, Russ. He's factoring
he's
in.
Not, though.
No, he's going somewhere with this. He's thinking maybe you're, you know, still slightly concerned about the Achilles. Like, you kind of have that in your mind of...
On a 4 mile run, I'm still worried about
that. You might Achilles. Generally kind of think to be protective of that. That's where he's going with this.
So I think the least likely option is sudden stop. I think the coolest option is the hurdle.
Yeah.
If I had to put things in a bucket, I think I would put most of my things in the go around bucket.
All right. So here's where Tone's logic is bad. I'm more athletic now than I was pre-Achilles injury. After I recovered, I was back to hooping. I'm stronger. I'm faster. I jump higher. I'm more athletic. And so on the run, the hurdle was something that was in my mind. And like, so where I was and where the kid was, I would have had to make like, there could be no thinking involved once you see the kid dart out.
How old kid are we talking about?
I'm talking 8.
Okay. I think the shortest summary of what Tone is saying.
Hurdleable for sure.
I'm sure.
It would have to be bang, bang.
I think part of what Tone is saying is, out of the four options you gave us, the one where you or anyone is probably most likely to get hurt is trying to stop on a dime from full speed.
Yes.
That's probably the riskiest to you out of the four.
Yes. And so the hurdle was...
You have no time to think this. This is just going to be instinct.
No, this is bang, bang, play at the plate.
Okay.
I see the kid come out and I'm like, can I stop? No. then that limits us to three options.
Yeah.
Go around the kid, hurl the kid, truck the kid.
Yeah.
Then it is, all right, can I clear the kid if I hurl him? Kid's about 3.5 feet tall. Now, I'm mid-jog here, and you don't really have time to, like when you're hooping, you got to gather, or you can push off. And I'm a guy, I box jump. So I'm like, okay, I definitely know what I could do. I could probably get up, but do I clip the kid?
The kid might move.
Kid might move and then clip you, and then I go tumbling.
And you hitting the kid in midair is actually going to be worse for you and the optics of this situation than if you just run into him.
1,000%. Kid gets skittish. Oh! And so what happens is option C, I truck the kid.
That's definitely the funniest of all the options.
You trucked an 8-year-old.
Well, he ran into me. Like, I'm not at fault at all.
There's no way anybody sees it that way. There's no way anyone sees it that way when a 30-year-old collides with an 8-year-old.
It was his fault.
I'm sure. I'm sure. I believe you. I believe you, but I'm telling you, no one who saw it will remember it that way. That the 30-year-old man,
I'm clearly a jogger,
out for a run, got knocked down by the 8-year-old child.
I'm clearly a jogger. I had the short cutoff on with the shorts and the compression tights and my fanny pack holding my phone and all this stuff. And so, like, the kid darts out. I try to stop, don't stop, truck kid. But this is the athlete that I am, Tone. Mid-truck, I, like, grab the kid and I roll so that he lands on me and I don't land on him.
Okay.
Good stuff by me. He was fine. I fucked my hand up.
He was fine because of you.
Yes. Like, I saved him.
Because of you. Yes.
Like, I scraped my hand all the way up. Kid's head hit my bottom lip. Bit my lip. It was fortunately not too crazy. But I was annoyed. I didn't show it. Sure. But, like, I was sitting on the ground and people, like, come over. I look at the kid. Are you okay? And he was fine. And then the kid's dad comes over, like, ask me if I'm okay. I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. And then I get up. I apologize, even though it wasn't my fault. I said, sorry, and finish my run. Now, the thing I was most bothered by, kid's parents was oblivious of this. Like, if somebody picked that kid up and took off with him, they would have no idea.
That was option 5, is you just scoop and score. You just pick him up.
Oh, 100%. You know, and almost did. Like, if I grab the kid
kinda, and then you can kind of decelerate. But then you're the guy that kind of ran off with a kid, you know?
Right. The kid scoop and score is,
again,
insane.
Not a great visual.
But hilarious. So, yeah, I was more bothered, like, come on, parents. Like, on a busy day, you're asking. I'm not. Well, nobody's asking for their kid to get kidnapped. But it's just like, if you're a kidnapper, this is like prime real estate. Like,
oh, free cheese. Let's go.
Free mouse in the house. Free cheese. The river walk. Beautiful day. Parents not paying attention. Taking pictures on the river walk.
Dress him in a shirt that says "Free to a Good Home."
And so I'm like, please, just parents, pay attention to your kids, because that kid just darted out in front of me. And fortunately, everybody came out relatively unscathed. But, like, if there was a predator out there, kid would be gone.
What, are you of the community?
No. I believe they were, I don't think this is offensive to say, like, of your wife's community.
Ah, okay. Okay, yeah.
You think they were Indians?
Yes.
Yeah, you can say, I think it's okay to say that. Yeah, you're right.
You never know these days. I want to hedge.
Yeah, people got to watch their kids, man. That's my worst nightmare, is me not knowing where my child is.
But Tone, I'm talking
that's because you have one child. Like,
they didn't even know until they heard the commotion that something had even happened with their kid involving their child. Until they saw both of us on the ground.
There's no way that's their first kid, Tone. That's probably their third kid.
That was definitely one of three kids.
Yeah, things get a little lax as you go.
He was definitely the youngest too.
In a public place, like,
I just don't think that's the area where you can be unaware of where your kids are. Like, your kid's gonna be in the river.
In a house, I get it, where you can be like lax and still, you know, they could like be trying to touch a socket or something. But I get it in the house, but in a wide open place with as much stories that we get with America's Most Wanted and, you know, that what's that movie, Freedom? I forgot that movie, but the child trafficking, like,
oh, Taken.
Taken, like, man, all of that is just burned in my brain. And now it's a legitimate fear of mine.
That's new parent talk, man. That's young kid. I have a young kid talk because I sent my kids down to Jules.
My kid's been kidnapped before. It's fine. You get them back.
Nah, yeah. They get over it.
They send them back in the mail. It's fine.
Yeah. Who has it? You pay the ransom. They send them. It's kind of a hassle. It's kind of a hassle, but, you know.
You pay the ransom.
It's just like getting, you know, your Visa bill in the mail.
Oh, man. But no.
Except that's made out of cutout magazine letters.
Oh, that was my Saturday. Also, thing that bothered me, I was flying.
Yeah.
For 3 miles.
I bet.
And I was like, I was so bothered because my time was messed up. Because then I have to, like, stop it 15 seconds after. Like, I was at, like, 8:05. And then that last mile, I think I was at like 8:45.
People who run know what you're talking about. People who run hear you on this. And people who don't maybe are like kind of making a face, I guess. But like when you hit a certain age, you're not playing Little League. You're not playing intramurals. You're not playing in some, you know, on a college club team or whatever. You're missing some of that athletic competition.
Yes.
And golfers get this. You compete against yourself. Runners get this. You compete against your own times. So the chance for me, it's always been if I can be under 8 minute miles for my pace on my run, that feels like I just won a big game to me. Like there's competition in that. So I understand why that's very frustrating to you, Russ. My kids are a little bit older. My kids are 10 and 13 now. And I've been trying to adapt to this phase of life. They're older than the kid that you trucked. I've been trying to adapt to this phase of life of they're not little kids. You need to kind of gradually give them more independence, kind of prepare them to be adults.
Yes.
And I think if that happened to my kid, if that happened to my 10-year-old because she wasn't paying attention and she got trucked by some runner, I don't know that I'm really getting involved. I'm like, that's your problem, Anna. Like you don't tell the nice man why you weren't paying attention. You go deal with this. Like you need to learn how to deal with messes and situations that you cause.
I am happy that I trucked a little boy and not a little girl.
Because that helps.
I think the optics are just different. You know what I mean? Like it's just not a good look. It's a bad look if this little girl, 225 me, trucks said little girl damn near into the river. Like, that's it. Just a bad day for me.
Was there any chance of somebody getting knocked into the water, you or the kid?
Here's my thing. We were far enough away, but, like, you've been on the Riverwalk. There's not a lot of real estate there. So
that's what makes it a river walk.
Circumstance, like if I try to go around the kid differently and like stumble, there's a chance I'm in the river. If he goes a different way and I like shoulder check him instead of him getting like full form tackle, which what it ended up being, he might be in the river. Really bad day for me at that point. Because then it's just like, okay.
Then you're on the news.
Who gets him now? Like, do I, as person who he ran into, who is also on the ground now, am I obligated to go get him out of the water? Or does somebody, because then you have the whole look around, oh, who's going to get him?
I think kid in the river, like whoever's closest is jumping in.
Yeah. That how it works?
I think.
I think you believe in society too much.
Unless they're, you know, they sometimes have those life preservers around.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Maybe one of those was near.
I'm springing to action, either jumping in or throwing the life preserver. If it's a kid in the water,
I'm probably going in, but it's the I have to get up off the ground. Am I physically okay enough to go in the water?
And then you're going to be a little disoriented.
There's like 15 seconds that passes.
Yeah.
I would hope that somebody else jumps in the water first. Not that I wouldn't want to and save the kid, but it's just like, yeah. So all those things came into my mind, like, kid, please don't fall in the water. Please don't have any broken bones. Please don't have any blood.
Yeah.
But also,
if there's broken bones, do you pay for the medical visit?
No, because he ran.
No way. No way.
No shot. No
shot.
He
didn't do anything wrong.
No shot.
He didn't do anything wrong. They're like, hey, this
there's cameras. Guy. Fortunately, it happened to a place where there's cameras. The cameras would show that he ran in front of me.
Yeah. Tone, you love to judge children and their parents. How do you assess this situation? The parents' fault? Kids' fault?
When you're dealing with kids, it's usually the parents' fault. Because
They would be negligent. Yeah, because their backs were turned to him.
Yeah, like you should be watching your kid. I view all judgments in real life as if I was Judge Judy, and she would be like, "Why aren't you watching your kid?"
She would say it like that.
Thumbs up. Something like that.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I would not describe Tony as judgmental in general, but he is very judgmental about parenting.
I think when you have good parents and you're raised the right way, it kind of does make you a little bit like judgmental. Like, my parents did it. How come your parents can do it? But then realize like everybody doesn't, you know, have the same type of.
We should include this because I had this thought this weekend, because after that happened, I'm walking back home after I finished my run, and I'm thinking, like, man, like, they didn't give a shit about that kid at all. Like, that's when the first thought of, I could have snatched that kid and they would have been none the wiser. Like, obviously, for everybody out there, jokes, and I would never do that. But like, if I was somebody that was
glad you said that, I'm glad you got that out there, that you don't
clear it up. I own business, children, own businesses.
I think inherently, like, I take for granted the parenting that I got. And I first noticed that when I started like dating seriously, and I'm like, two parent households aren't really much of the norm as I thought it was. And then you start seeing like the residual effects of not having that, like, consistent both parents in the life of a child. And you see the effects it has on like adults. Like, I was very much, I guess, naive in that aspect, and like had to rethink a lot about, man, like, I had some pretty quality parents considering like what's genuinely like out here in terms of parenting.
My thought was different, Tony. Like, my thought was just, you know, back in the day, people with kids wouldn't let you judge parenting because it's like, oh, you ain't got kids, you don't know. I completely push back against that now.
Of course.
Like, you do. I don't think you, but see, I don't think you necessarily need to have kids to just know what's likely right. For the Tone's point, where it's just like, hey, like, you know me, Jason. Like, you know how I am around kids. You know how
you're nice to kids.
If you are very friendly to kids. If you had an emergency, you're like, yo, can you watch Anna and Grace for a day? You'd trust me enough.
Not only would I trust you to do that, but they would have a fun day with you. You would be excellent as an uncle at this stage.
But you also know, like, I'm going to have their best interest in mind. And that that's not always the fun thing.
Russ will feed them. Russ will take care of them. And they'll also have a very fun time with Uncle Russ. Yes.
But
your parenting philosophy, if you were an actual parent and not just like the fun uncle or the fun dad's friend, your parenting philosophy, if I'm not mistaken, is control your kids. Like if you wrote a parenting book, which that'd be fun. If Russ wrote a parenting book, it would be titled Control Your Kids.
I feel like there's a narrative out there about me that is wrong. Like, I think y'all, the streets have taken
Maybe,
I don't want kids in first class. I'm only your own theories. And I don't think that's fair.
I'm only coming to this conclusion that your philosophy on parenting is control your kids based on the history of all your actions and comments. So that could possibly be untrue.
Tone literally went to a steakhouse and told a kid to shut your ass up. Like, how does this always come back on me? Like, that's not fair at all. All I said was one time.
No, Tony thinks it too.
Tony
thinks control your kids too. He's just in the process of being broken from that. He doesn't realize it, but he is.
Tone literally went to a restaurant, heard a baby cry, and was like, nah, shut that shit up. And all I said was that kid.
What are you doing here, baby?
In first class. And I was like, Russ hates kids. I don't think that's fair. Y'all have both seen me around children where I am great and they love me.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I've been running into parents who have like babies, and the babies care way more about me than they do about their own parents. And so it's like,
okay,
this is popular
with babies. Good.
Yes. I think that's a genetic thing because so is my dad. And then somebody said like, oh, that's a sign that you about to, I'm like, please don't put that on me. Neither here nor there. But yeah, I feel like we have to kill this Russ hates kids narrative because it is true, but it's not fair.
I don't think you hate kids. I think you mistakenly believe you just don't know because you don't have the experience that parents cannot control their kids. And Tony thinks the same thing because Tony has a baby. So Tony also believes that a parent can control their kids. And you probably will continue to think that, Tone, for the next couple of years. And then like about age 7, you'll start to see that that's not the case. And you both know that because you both have good parents. But your parents did not control how you turned out. They had influence on it and they might have done everything right, but it still ultimately is about you. It's ultimately who you are and what are the choices you are going to make.
So
I was an excellent child.
I'm pushing back, Tone, because I agree with Tone. Me and my brother were good kids, and I agree with you in that a certain point of it, you could do everything right and it still goes how it goes. But I'll tell you this. Do you think me and my brother were running around the airport sitting in the middle of the floor in the airport screaming at the top of our lungs at the airport? No way in hell, Jason Leisure, did that happen. You do control that to a degree. Like, I know everybody's different on somebody getting that ass toe up if me and my brother start cutting up in the airport. Are you kidding me? I'm not necessarily saying that you have to do that to control your child, but like the idea that you have no control is not true.
I think there's a happy medium, Jay, that I guess like, I think it's just, at least in my experience, it's part of it is a little bit of fear. It's like, all right, I know what happens at home if I'm acting out of order. Do I really want this to happen in front of these people? And that's like, I think that's like kind of a good fear of the threat that, man, I can get grabbed, snatched up real quick. Like that is, as a child, you think about that. But that starts in at home though, right? Like, hey, is it time to eat? No, it's not run around time. You sit at the table. And again, generally that's a good fear to be placed if the child needs that type of attention and focus. So I wasn't, running around, public places, screaming in public places, if it could be helped. Like kids cry, right? Like if they're in distress, right? That's different. But just, I'm just going to do whatever I want in front of all these people. That was not a thing in my house.
And Jay, I wouldn't lie to you. I'm in the airport 4 times a week, and I have seen some of the wildest behavior ever.
Oh, I agree.
And I look at the parent, like, from a distance, like, oh, how are they going to handle this? And the mom's like, come on, please. Can we please? please stop running around?
But like, that's too mom late looks at that point. Like if it's not happening at 100%. The crib, it's too late now. So they just kind of have to do
because the kids is like, you're not built for this life. I'm gonna do whatever the hell I want.
I do this. At you're home. Not built for this here.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, but a lot of people, O'Hare a lot of people have
playground in the world.
A lot of people have kids before they're ready to have kids. They are not
or shouldn't have them at all.
At a point, either or there or what,
or shouldn't have them at all.
Yes. Okay. Maybe. But not Wait, everyone
you
is.
You disagree that some people shouldn't have kids at all?
No, I'm just kind of like hearing out your point, okay. I guess. I mean, I'm not saying shouldn't have kids at all. I'm saying maybe you aren't ready for it at all at that time. And maybe give you another 5 years to mature as a person, and you would be. I'm not saying that I would determine anybody should never have a kid. I think that some people have kids before they're ready, and you don't always have control over that. And you don't necessarily know what to do, and you haven't necessarily had the experience with your own parents that would inform you on how to do that. And some kids are really difficult. I'm guessing you were not a difficult kid to parent in general, as far as you were very smart, you were probably very good-hearted, obedient, all those things. Some of that's just who you are. Some of that your parents can't take credit for. There's probably a lot of good parenting. I'm sure there's a lot of good parenting that went into you turning out the way you did.
Yeah.
But a lot of it you don't have control over. And you definitely hit an age where you're describing probably five-year-olds that are acting up at the airport. But you definitely hit an age when you're 10 where you have the ability at that point to sneak some stuff by your parents. You have some ability to do stuff from 10 to 18, or if you want to count it all the way to like the end of college, 10 to 22, you can get away with some stuff. And kids will always get stuff by on their parents. I couldn't possibly sit here and say that I know everything my 10 and 13-year-old do. I'd have to act as the FBI to know. I'd have to tap everything to know exactly everything they do. I'd like to think I have a pretty good handle in general on what they do. But they've got some ability to get away with what they want to get away with. And that margin in there is going to come down to who they choose to be as people. I don't have control over that. And I don't want to have control over that. I'm not saying you have no control over your kids, but I'm saying you don't have total control. And it's not good for you or good. It's more so good for them for you to have total control, because eventually there's a point where you have no control, zero. No matter what you've done for the last 18 years, it's all on them at that point. And they are going to choose like it's a menu, which of your things you've taught them, which of your parenting techniques, which of your influences they want to accept or reject. And it's really about them at that point. So you have to understand it. And it's hard, especially it's been hard for me to understand it. But you have to understand at some point, it's not entirely up to the parenting. And as it progresses, it will eventually you aren't parenting anymore. There is no more parenting. Whatever you've done in 18 years, right or wrong, they will decide for themselves what was right, what was wrong, and what they're going to go with and what they're not.
Can I get a bowl of the respect for adults with a side of kindness? But can I get a little cup of temper tantrum on the side, please?
You're kind. You're a kind person. And I would imagine that that is who you would have been no matter what. No matter how you'd been raised, I believe that that is what's in your heart. I also believe that your parents probably raised you to value kindness and to be kind to others, and that that connected with you, and you have chosen to be that way as an adult out of a combination of that's just who you are and that's how you were raised.
I see it more now, though, in like things that happen where I'm like, ah, this is my dad, or ah, this is my mom, because you like you literally like how I drive is literally from me watching my dad drive, where when I was learning how to drive, I would drive with two fingers on the side of the steering wheel. And he hated it. But I'm like, dog, I've seen you do this for the last 17 years. Why do you expect that? Like, this is why I drive this way. And because you just see so many things. Like, if my parents were mean to people, now I'm not saying I would want to be like that, but I'm saying I would probably be more likely to also be mean to people. just because if that's the environment that you're raised in, mm-hmm. and we see it all the time, like just because you're raised in some different an environment doesn't mean you end up that way, but like you are more likely to, and it's good when you're not, especially in negative circumstances. But yeah, like because of how I've seen my parents treat people, like that's why I said, oh, okay, yeah, I'll be like that. So yeah, I think you're right to a lot of degrees, but I will say like I do as I get older see the reflection of my parents and how I just am. Fortunately, not a bad thing.
You want to do the news and wrap up?
Hell yeah.
I've never heard such enthusiasm about the news from you, Russ.
I just thought of Tone's top five again, and it made me sad.
It's top five.
Wait, Tone, before we get to the news, is your top five rappers list in like a similar vein?
No, I bet that's a different
list.
I bet
standard.
That's a different conversation. Like that. This is my personal top five.
No, I got it. I got it. But
there's a totally different criteria here. You're talking. Yeah. What he's given you is basically like Super Bowl MVPs, and now you're asking for the greatest.
But no,
football
what
players
we asked was his personal top five, and he could also have a personal top.
Yeah,
five
but those are
as
like
far as
top
MCs.
Top five albums are like top five moments, basically, or seasons. You're talking about top five greatest careers.
No,
greatest
that's
rap.
Not,
that
that's
will certainly
no.
be.
I
a,
think there's different.
That would definitely be
different.
A different list.
But no, what I'm saying is your personal top five is different than the top five artists or rappers of all time. Like those are two different lists. Mm-hmm. Like hit, this one would be more subjective. Tone?
Do you have top five greatest rappers?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Is this is it going to be only five?
Is this personal or what you consider to be the best?
Well, I mean, again, two different lists. I don't know what you want.
Personal. Give me personal. Like
okay.
we gave you
okay.
the
personal favorite.
Albums.
Yes.
So in this scenario, for example, you would sit here and you would say, like, if it was your five favorite basketball players, Allen Iverson is not one of the five greatest basketball players of all time.
Correct.
But he could be one of your five favorite basketball players of all time.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Tone. Who are your five favorite rappers ever?
Kendrick. Drake. I think Boldy James is probably one of my favorites. This is
Macklemore.
Wayne.
Oh yeah, Lil Wayne. Even though I haven't listened to you know any new Lil Wayne in years.
Wayne's old.
This is very difficult. I don't know if I have a top five. Maybe I got a top three.
Well, you said gave us four so far.
Four? Okay. Mac Miller.
Yo, breaking news. Yes. NBA has given Jontay Porter a lifetime ban.
Ah, I wanted to talk about him today, too. That is crazy what he was doing.
That yo, he's a wild. You talk about a wild
allegedly.
Boy.
Allegedly betting the under
it
on himself,
it ain't allegedly.
Himself out of games.
It's not allegedly if they give you the lifetime ban. They have
ban,
enough
yeah.
information to be like,
well,
no, you
no,
did
it's
this shit.
It's still allegedly because it has to be proven in court. Like the NBA
does
it? The NBA is not a court, even though it has determined this.
The NBA,
but some of the
bad,
details, dog. Some of the alleged details, though, of like betting the under on his rebounds and his three pointers,
and then leave games
taking
early.
Himself out of a game 4 minutes in
that
with an illness or an eye
crazy.
Injury.
Crazy.
That is
yeah,
nuts.
I don't think it's alleged. I mean, if it's still alleged, he can take the NBA to
Jason,
court
listen to me.
And he will
you
win.
Think that they would just haphazardly give him a lifetime ban?
No. No.
If like, it's found untrue, he have a case.
No, Russ,
two people,
hey,
two people have ever been given lifetime bans in the NBA. Donald Sterling is one, and this dude. So, like, they was not messing around with him.
Tony had this idea. Do you remember some of the Donald Sterling interviews after he got in trouble or his girlfriend's interviews?
The ones with
Tony
the
had this idea that Tony had this idea that you and I should reenact some of those interviews as though performing a play. Like the Barbara Walters interview where she's like, I was his silly rabbit. I was his right was hand, his
right arm, hand man. Arm man.
You're his what? Hey,
I was his right hand arm.
Tony wanted you and I to perform those like Shakespeare, like work of Shakespeare on here. It's not a bad idea.
Yo, she was having relations with that man.
Or trying.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. The news. Jonte
Porter. Just want us to kind of sit with that and reckon with that. And I can't.
I don't think it's alleged.
Which thing? Donald Sterling and his silly rabbit?
No. Shorty.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Okay. I don't think Jonte's alleged. Like, I don't think if you had any doubts that he did this, you wouldn't have given him the lifetime ban. They have enough information to be like, yeah, you did this. Lifetime ban. You're done. And how embarrassing for his brother. That's wild.
What's the detail on that? Why do you say that?
Michael Porter Jr. is his brother.
Yeah. You just mean because he's a good player? Or
your brother is the only the second person in the history of the league that's been banned for life because he was gambling on basketball.
I thought you meant
that's embarrassing for you.
I wasn't aware of where he was betting unders on his brother.
My brother was playing in Major League Baseball, and I was too. And then he gets banned for betting on baseball. That's embarrassing.
Of course,
because it's your brother.
Yes.
And you're the better of the brothers. So it's just like, man, you got a shot. And this what you did?
That's control your brother, part, right, like, Russ?
Yeah. For sure. 100%.
Just like control your kids.
You know what the league minimum is in the NBA?
It's probably $1 million by now, right?
Over a five-leg parlay. What are we doing? Same day parlay. Out of the league. Sad.
I mean, it's bound to happen.
Oh, yeah. I think all these leagues have been asking for this.
This is going to be really hard to monitor.
1,000%. All right. Back to the news.
Let's do the news, and we're going to stay in the NBA. Yeah, we've got our NBA expert with us, Tony Gill. Two items I want to ask you about, Tony. So the Warriors lost their play-in game the other night. And very notably, this was Tuesday night, I think. Very notably, Klay Thompson goes 0 for 10 from the field, points in a game for the first time since his rookie year.
Yep.
And now he's a 34-year-old free agent. Had a decent year statistically, but he made $43 million this year, and I don't think the Warriors are going to pay $43 million for him to come back at 45. So what is next in your mind here, Tone? First for Klay and second for the Warriors, because they've had guys come and go, but having Klay leave is really going to be, I mean, that is a pillar of their dynasty that would leave.
Yeah. For Klay, after his initial, return from two major injuries, it was nice to see him come back. He helped him win another championship, which is great. But hey, man, like, I don't know why we are expecting people to age like LeBron, like all the time. Like LeBron,
I think this all the time with Brady, Tone. People always look at Tom Brady and he played to 45 and they're like, okay, well, everyone's going to play to 45 now. And they can't understand why Aaron Rodgers is struggling and getting hurt and having bad seasons at 40. It's like, that's what normal people do at that age.
Like, yes, that's normal.
LeBron's an anomaly.
Nobody's going to be excellent for the large majority of part of their career into the downhill of their athleticism. That's just not for everybody. And that's okay, right? Like, he's just not that guy anymore. He is a bench guy. It's just
that's what Barkley said.
Placed on the bench is the key to get the most out of him at this point in his career. But him as the guy that we once knew, that time is over with.
I think it's a wrap for, like, I think we need to just close the chapter on the Warriors dynasty. It's a great moment for sports, the NBA, all that. I think the best thing for Klay's career right now is to close that chapter and go somewhere else. This next chapter of your career where you are that Ray Allen type as a shooter and go win a title somewhere. I imagine not at that number, but there's going to be a lot of teams that are like, oh, Klay Thompson would be a nice fit to what we do.
Depending on the number.
But Russ, someone will give him that number. There's always a team out there. There's always a Bulls or somebody that will give him that number.
Make that the team with the space with that number, he wouldn't want to go to.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, though, is does he want to chase that $40 million a year playing somewhere where you're going to be like irrelevant?
He seems like the type, because he's already been talking about the, you know, next part of my life, retirement. I don't know how much longer Klay has left anyway from that standpoint, because most athletes will tell you once you start talking like that, you're probably done anyway. Like, you've had the thought of, do I walk away? So I don't know. I think he still has good basketball left. But, like, to expect him to be that version of himself is, I think that part is over. Oh, more breaking news, by the way, to me and Tone's point about this ain't alleged. From Woj, most damning from Porter and the NBA, he bet on the Raptors to lose, according to the league's investigation. Ew.
There we go.
He, not other people, he bet on the Raptors to lose.
Yep, that'll do it.
Yeah, you're done.
Mm. Come on. The other NBA news.
He did it, side.
The other NBA news this week, Tone, was Blake Griffin retiring. 13 years, six-time All-Star, I should say. Rookie of the year. What do you make of Blake Griffin's career and whether he lived up to his potential?
I think he did. You know, again, I think LeBron skews a lot of this stuff. But take LeBron out of it.
Raises the bar.
Right. What we know, or, you know, what we've seen with LeBron, like, Blake had a great career, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it was entertaining. And we knew that it was going to have a short shelf life, right? Him jumping, you know,
his best years, yes.
People, like, but it was fun getting to see that and experience that. So I'm glad he, you know, retired. I don't think it was necessarily on his own terms. Like, he kind of waited a while to see if he'd get picked up. But hey, man, that's the league. You know, once, you know, once they've used you up, you know, that's kind of what it is. So it is unfortunate that, you know, he never got over, you know, that hump or plate, you know, in a finals. We never got to see what that was. But, man, it was fun watching him in the Clippers uniform in that era of basketball. So he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he's first ballot, but he's definitely going to the Hall.
He probably had, I would say, a 9-year run where he was himself and very, very good, and definitely could be one of your three if you're trying to win a championship. He's definitely a Hall of Famer. This is one of the interesting things that varies from sport to sport, is his career, I probably is borderline at best to make the Hall of Fame if he's a football player. If you take those same accomplishments and put it in football, he's a maybe at best about the Hall of Fame. Basketball, he's automatic. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt in my mind. Six-time All-Star, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
It's the everybody gets into the basketball Hall of Fame thing too, which I don't like. I hate saying that, but it's not like football or baseball where, yo, it should be hard to get into the Hall of Fame. Where basketball's like, what'd you do? 6-time All-Star? Yeah, you're probably a Hall of Famer. Get in here. They include college in that.
Yeah. I mean, I got my own personal things in terms of like who gets to go to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Like, I combine like stats, accolades, and like moments.
Impact.
So in that is like, can I tell on the tapestry of the NBA, do I need to tell your story? Does your story matter in the entire tapestry of the NBA? And I would say for Blake Griffin, absolutely it does. Like, he gave
in his era,
a lot of moments. So yeah, like, you can't tell the history of the NBA without Blake Griffin because of what he did and what he provided for the NBA. So that's kind of my barometer.
Patrick Mahomes was named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people in the world. And in an interview for that story, Tone, he touted the benefits of having a, quote, dad bod. And I think, let's hear what he had to say here. I think, Russ, that Patrick Mahomes is reiterating or restating a Tony theory that came up a month or two ago when we first discussed this.
And now, Tony Gill reads.
I wanted to read this as Tony Gill because I was absolutely right on this point. So, this is not Tony Gill with glasses. This is me, Tony Gill, taking a victory.
You don't know where the glasses are.
He doesn't know where the glasses
are. I do not know where the glasses are.
Yeah.
All right. Patrick Mahomes to Time Magazine. Oh, I definitely have the dad bod a little bit, but I'll also say I have a great body for a quarterback. You've got to have some padding in there to take the hits that we take. He's absolutely correct. Like we see, we're seeing Ozzy went on the post game show for the White Sox, and his comments about Eloy and Luis getting injured. He's like, "Fat don't get strained. Fat doesn't get hurt." And it's a good point. It's a good point. Like the way that you know quarterbacks get hit. And really the only place that they can get hit is that mid, that stomach, torso. To right below the pectoral area. So if I got just, you know, a little bit of, you know, flab and some softness there to kind of absorb that contact, but I work out the arms and my legs and my stamina around that, like, I think that's the perfect way to have a quarterback be the best that they can be. Like, you don't need a six pack to play quarterback. Like, it's only going to, you know, make things more complicated the more hits that you take. So, yeah, I agree. I've been on this wave, but I 100% agree with Patrick.
I'm impressed that he runs as well as he does, given his condition. He runs great. He's such an underrated runner. Well, but if you think about the way the other guys who run a lot and run really well, and granted, they run much better and more prolifically than Mahomes. Russ, think about like Lamar Jackson's body type, Justin Fields' body type, Jalen Hurts' body type. Those guys all look a lot different than Patrick Mahomes.
This is what I think is unfair. He got caught on camera when your body's relaxed. He's not fat. Like, can we get out of our minds? People are talking about that man.
I know you were on this last time too.
Fat ass dude, stomach hanging out, belly all out, keg. Like, that's not how that dude's built. The dude's in shape and his body was relaxed.
Yes, he is.
But like, don't come. I hate he doesn't have a dad bod because dads are out of shape.
He does.
He does.
He has dad
bod. He said he does. Like,
for the NFL. Stop. Let's stop.
Okay. But if you saw him and Justin Fields at the beach, one of them is clearly.
I don't think that's the same. I think we use dad bod as this catch-all. He has a dad bod for the NFL. Okay, fine.
Yes. Yes.
Because he doesn't have some eight-pack like Cam in his prime. But he ain't Big Jim that has four kids that's 315. Like, let's stop.
Yes. And he's in better shape than me. There you go. You remember Tom Brady had the famous Tom Brady diet? Like he drank X amount of water.
No tomatoes.
No peppers or whatever. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, if you want to get the Patrick Mahomes body by Patrick, he says he likes Chick-fil-A, Whataburger, and eating Starburst candy. Whataburger is highly underrated.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
People talk. Did you have that in Oklahoma when you went to school?
We did.
Okay. I have only ever seen that in the South. Like when they talk out west about In-N-Out Burger, I'm kind of like, it's In-N-Out Burger is really, as the kids say,
mediocre
very mid.
At best. Yeah, very mid. Good use of the word.
Yeah, thank you.
Good job.
Whataburger delivers. When you hear people from the South talk about Whataburger, Whataburger is good. Tone, you ever had Whataburger?
Little honey butter chicken biscuit.
I have not.
Yeah.
Oh, you're missing. Well, out you time. Haven't. They got a chicken. I know how you are. Much, but they have a barbecue. Chicken tender sandwich. I know you would be in on that.
He looks in.
Little layer of cheese, three chicken tenders on Texas toast with some barbecue sauce.
Yeah, keep that thing up. Let's go. Turn me up. Mm-hmm.
It's not fair what you're doing to him right now as we approach noon Central Time.
Right.
Speaking of food, Tone, Red Lobster, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you once referred to as, quote, the epitome of fine dining.
Yes.
Was that Red Lobster that you said that about, or was that like Applebee's?
No, it was Red Lobster.
I think it was Red Lobster. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bloomberg reports that they are considering bankruptcy after 56 years.
Oh, man.
Now, that does not mean that... Yeah, I know. I hear you. Because I actually like Red Lobster. I go to Red Lobster probably once or twice a year. And I like it. I enjoy Red Lobster. The biscuits, like, I know I can't keep doing this forever, but I could eat a dozen of those, I think. They're almost liquid. Mm-hmm. You could almost eat that biscuit with a straw. It doesn't mean they're going to go out of business. It means they are on hard times. And in the Bloomberg report, it says they actually lost money on their endless shrimp promotion. So I think there were some opportunists out there that saw the opportunity for endless shrimp and actually made it hurt a little for Red Lobster. But Tone, do you have any theories other than that on why Red Lobster, whether they go out of business or not, talking bankruptcy is not a positive sign. Do you have any theories on why Red Lobster is in decline?
Yeah, they need to rebrand, right? Like in 2000, it was like, oh, we're getting transported to, you know, this ship where, oh, we could eat all the seafood that we want. Like, mm-hmm. just give me a regular restaurant. I don't need the theme part of it. Like, just double down.
See, like, a carving of a parrot in there.
Right. Like, we don't need all of that. It looks lame. It's childish now. Like, we have grown up as an audience and consumer of food. Like, just double down on the food quality of it instead of the ambiance of it. Side note, we went to Red Lobster for my father's birthday on March 25th, kind of as the last resort because everything else was kind of booked up. And the hostess was like, yeah, how many? Yeah, it's going to be a while. I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, like, what, are we talking 30 minutes? She's like, no, longer than that. I'm like, what, like 40? I think longer. And I looked at her and I looked around. I'm like, you have an entire empty section. Like, what the heck's going on? So I go back to the car and I come back. I was like, put us down. We'll wait. And she just looked shocked because I knew she, and then she seated us right away. I'm like, what is happening with Red Lobster where they don't want customers? What the heck is that? Almost snitched on her to the manager. I'm like, you know, she almost turned us away. She tried to turn us away, right? Like, that was a waitress that almost didn't get a tip because of your hostess not wanting to seat us. Because, I don't know, she wanted to hang out with her friends and not work that day. Like, it was weird. And I was like, yep, Red Lobster is definitely going down.
There does seem to be an uptick in that issue of customer service that you indirectly mentioned.
1,000%.
You want to patronize a business, and the people who work there give you this attitude of, why are you bothering me at work?
I had that that happen to me at Suit Supply this past week, and it was just like, okay, I'm going to go now and give somebody else my business. Like, I was going to drop some money in there, but now it's just like, all right, whatever.
I had it happen at a bakery. This server, employee, whatever, at the bakery seemed so put out that I was there to get some cinnamon rolls. And I was thinking, like, didn't you come here today to serve cinnamon rolls for money? I bet that's not what you do in your free time. And I would never walk up to you while you were out for a jog and say, how about some cinnamon rolls? Here's my money. But at this place, I thought that's what you do.
There are people who shouldn't have kids. There are people who work in the service industry that should not be.
Yeah. Yeah, there's other jobs where you don't really have to deal with people.
At all. Yeah.
And finally, Russ, an Asian elephant escaped from a traveling circus Tuesday and wandered the streets of Butte, Montana. This is from NBC Montana. The elephant named Viola, and I didn't realize we had circuses still. I thought that was done.
I did too, but
there apparently is something called the Jordan World Circus that operates out of, it was unclear to me looking at their website, whether they operate out of Las Vegas or the Florida Gulf Coast, which, you know, kind of
both would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of explain. Yeah. Either one could be correct. The elephant Viola walked around Butte, Montana, which is a small town. I mean, if you're picturing small town Montana in your mind, that is what this is. And an elephant roaming the street, just walking down the sidewalk, walking through traffic, wandered over to the parking lot of a local casino before for about 20 minutes before the handlers were eventually able to guide it back to its enclosure. As always, I see this happen, and I think, like, I think we talked about a lion that was loose in some town in Italy a few months ago from a circus. I think, A, these animals don't want to be in your circus. B, how did this animal get out? Because it's dangerous. Elephants kill people. Like, sometimes they get aggressive and kill people. Also, they're gigantic, and they might just truck you. And that's going to be a lot different than getting trucked by a jogger on the Riverwalk. That elephant's going to really win when it trucks you. And I always think, how was somebody so careless, or how was someone careless allowed to have an elephant like this? Surveillance footage shows that they were giving the elephant a bath, so they're hosing it down, and a truck backfired nearby and startled the elephant, and the elephant just ran off. Because a person with a hose isn't going to be able to stop an elephant. Now you have this, you know, fortunately nothing happened, but it could have been very dangerous. This thing, I've seen the videos of this thing just walking down the road. That's one of the benefits of these, of cell phones now, is you have video of everything. You hear something crazy, almost guaranteed there's some video of it that somebody got from their phone that's on Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. The Jordan World Circus, which is still operating somehow, tours extensively. They seem like they're going to be mostly in the Northwest this year. They have elephants, camels, bisons, dogs. I feel like you could see dogs doing tricks anywhere. Acrobats and clowns. And it appears that it costs about $10 to attend. I don't have any interest in going to a circus or taking my kids to a circus. I'm surprised that there's still any kind of demand for this industry.
Soul Circus. That's fire.
Universal Circus. I don't know. Like, it was cool back in the day going to the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus at the UC when they came into town.
But it was like, cool because you were a dumb five-year-old. You didn't know any better. You didn't know what fun things actually were.
Yeah, but I think sometimes we need to do dumb things for kids because it's their kids. Like, I want to see juggling people like at the Soul Circus. Like, it's cool. Ooh, a lion jumping through a ring of fire. Now, the older you get, you realize, oh, these animals are in captivity. That's not great. But, like, I think the concept of the circus isn't inherently bad.
Why is it so unregulated to have an elephant? Why does it seem like someone could have an elephant or a lion that could get loose? Like, there should be every precaution in place. Every security measure in place to make sure that can't happen. You can't just take the elephant out back on a leash and hose it down and think everything's going to be fine.
I mean, it makes sense, but like, just thinking of senators and Congress people trying to make fair laws for circus elephants instead of like real important stuff, it's kind of like, well, we'll get to it eventually. We got some other stuff to.
You'd be too busy, Tone. You'd be too busy to regulate elephant and lion control. You'd be like, we got too much other stuff to do. You guys just kind of police yourselves. Make sure nothing gets loose.
Yeah, make sure nobody dies. All right, like, okay. We don't have to do it. Like, don't make us have to set rules. Right, the laws are for the laws.
Well, this elephant got out and didn't kill anyone, so you know, all's well that ends well, right, Tone? This worked out. This is a success. This worked out just fine.
Yeah.
That's the news.
All right. We'd like to thank everybody out there listening to Sports Adjacent this week. We'd like to thank Tone for coming back for another sporadic visit. Tone, you know, we love having you here. If you like Tone's sporadic visits, they are sponsored by our good friends over at Cheese and Giggles. You can get 22% off.
He's that uncle. He's that wild card uncle that you don't ever know if he's going to show up to Thanksgiving until, and like, he actually does show up.
Yeah, doesn't ask. Just
and hey, when he does show up, he might yeah, he might want to stay with you for a little bit.
Better that uncle than the creepy uncle, but we won't get into that. You get 22% off at Cheats and Giggles for the Earth Month sale. You can also get additional savings if you use our promo code SPORTS. That is promo code SPORTS, or use our URL sheetsgiggles.com/SA. It is getting warm and their sheets keep you cool. We're also brought to you by BetMGM. You can get up to $1,500 back in free betting credit if you use our promo code adjacent1000. That is adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sports books. Tone, anything before we let the fine folks go?
Shout out to my guy, Bishop Mari Emanuel, who got stabbed on a live stream while getting a sermon that made international news. And then after getting stabbed, put his hands on the guy and prayed for him. Like, that is strength. That is what being a Christian is all about. So shout out to Bishop Mari Mar for, you know, even under extreme duress, being able to be a disciple. So shout out to him, praying for his recovery.
I love the Lord too, but if I get stabbed giving a sermon, I don't know if I'm praying for the brother. With that, we will catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.